This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
When you look at Sunday night, Bill, and you have a player like Tom Brady returning who spent so much time here, what is that like for you when it comes to preparing for him football-wise, but also when you look back on how much time you two spent together here on this team?
Right. Well, yeah, it's two totally different questions. I mean, yeah, you know, Tom and I had a, you know, I feel like a good relationship and a lot of production, obviously, you know, while we were together. And I enjoyed coaching Tom, and you know, he was a great player for us.
Bill, over the course of you and Tom's time together, you said dozens of times that there was no quarterback you would rather have. When did that change?
No, never changed.
So you wanted Tom to re-sign here after the 2019 season?
Yeah, well, I think we've been through all the dynamics of that. There were a lot of things there that, you know, he looked at his options and made his decision. We weren't as good an option as Tampa. So, I mean, you'd have to ask him about all that, but that's really wasn't a question that I wanted, that's for sure.
Was there a nugget or two in there?
Oh, yeah, there was some nuggets in there.
Wiggy, you love your nuggets.
I do love my...
You do love nuggets.
I love my Morris Chestnut Colts.
So
right there, that our option wasn't as good as Tampa's option. So there was like, hey, we want you back, but you know what? In his mind, I don't like my options here, so I'd rather go to Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I got out of that. And kind of said that to Curtis. Like,
yeah, he did.
I was shocked. When Curtis asked that question, I thought it was going to get shut down immediately.
No, right?
He gave a great, well-said, eloquent answer.
There wasn't even a pause.
No.
Hi.
There was no throat clearing even.
Nope.
And he even expanded on it, because you know when he expands on it, like, then that means...
But, Greg, you farted in the background, and that was picked up.
You know he wants to talk about it a little bit.
Nugget number one appears to be that Bill wanted Tom Brady to be here. Curtis, can you take back everything you have said for the last 2 years?
Well, Tom Brady Sr.'s on the hotline now, so he wants to call in and rebut that. Honestly, that is a great answer. I don't know where that's been, but... The next question obviously would have been, what did you offer, which he would have never have given an answer to.
It wasn't a question that I wanted, that's for sure.
But in the end, I think that you could easily say that the GM led to the quarterback leaving the coach, because Tampa was a better option because the talent they had down there that they didn't have here.
We weren't as good an option as Tampa.
I just think it's a bigger issue for Tom Brady than it is for Bill Belichick.
Yeah, and we've seen that. I mean, we've seen that over the time since Tom has been down in Tampa Bay. With Bill, it's just like, I'm focused on what I got here. I don't really throw any shots in Tom's direction.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about my team here. And we've seen kind of the subtle shots. But I also think it's because, say what you want, and I truly believe this, he chose to leave. But he didn't want to. That's why he kept throwing little subtle digs. I think it's like when you really want to be.
Well, it can't be both ways. I mean, after this week, it is my sincere hope that that name does not have to be uttered on, on this program anywhere near as much as it has been. But it can't be both ways. He either didn't want to leave or he wanted to leave. So if you listen to the old man, you know, this is vindication. It was last year was vindication for him. And Bill didn't want him anymore. Bill just told you moments ago that he wanted him.
Right.
And that the situation down there was better for Tom, and that's and you better ask Tom about that.
Right.
So
it wasn't a question of not wanting him.
It wasn't
sure.
a question of not wanting him. He
that's
wanted him.
That's for sure, he said.
Right, but don't you think, Greg, there have been people who, where maybe Tom didn't want to leave, but he felt like it wasn't enough money. It was more about the money that was being offered to him. So he's leaving, but as he's leaving reluctantly, right? And he goes and he has success down there, but he always thinks like, oh, man, I never wanted to leave that place.
Well, they always say there's your story, my story, and the truth. So if you take Bill and Tom Brady Sr.
He didn't want to afford him or didn't want to keep him.
So it could be that, that Bill didn't want to lose him, but he couldn't afford him. That would be the truth out of the both stories.
I mean, he said he looked at his options, made his decision,
right,
and we weren't as good of an option for him.
Right.
Yeah, we weren't paying big bucks.
So what,
we weren't as good an option as Tampa.
Right. So why, if that's what it was, why are you being Tom Petty about it every 5 minutes?
Damn right.
Right? Here is Mike from Florida. What's up, Mike?
Good morning, guys. Happy Monday. As happy as it could be with the Patriots loss. Whatever.
Mike, never mind the Patriots, the Red Sox. And the Yankees. What a miserable morning. There's nothing happy about it. But what's up, Mike?
I'm already done talking about that mess. But anyways, so first of all, now I know why we call Curtis numb nuts, because they've got to be numb when they're made of freaking titanium. Curtis, nice question, bro.
It was a great question. It really was.
That was awesome. I felt like the energy of like, oh, what's he going to say? And then Bill comes out. And Bill just knocks it out of the park. He said exactly what you'd expect him to say. And then some, you know, at the end of the day, you can't blame Bill and you can't blame Tom, because with last year what we saw and then yesterday what we saw against a decent pass rush, this line has improved. You know, of course we have the loss of Trent Brown, and that's a big issue right now for us. But that line isn't that good. And with the weapons that were there after the 2019 season, how would you blame Brady for wanting to get the hell out with basically the fact that Bill didn't have the ability to put the team around Tom that Tom really wanted? Maybe Tom didn't really want to leave all that bad, but at the end of the day, there's just an issue when you're at that age trying to continue success, having to look at the line in front of you and the weapons you have to throw to, and Bill knowing he can't do any better than that. It's a mutual parting of ways where it's, you know, we're just too far apart, and we're going to have to do what's best for the team, and Tom's going to have to do what's best for him, and that's it.
So, Mike, let me ask this question. So one guy heading into the season, and Trent Brown not being there, heading into the season, people said that you had one of the top five best offensive lines in the league. So you lose one guy, and now you have an awful line?
First of all, I don't think that just the loss of Trent Brown is the issue. I think that people that were saying that you have one of the best offensive lines in the league, I think that's a little bit much there.
Okay.
I didn't think that was the case from the get-go. I think that the loss of, what was it, Andrews?
Tooney.
Tooney, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. So the loss of Tooney, I thought, was pretty big, you know, and they knew they were going to be losing him. And I just don't think that this line was ever going to perform, and maybe they will, but I never thought that they were going to be the best in the league. There are a lot of offensive lines out there that I see as far better than the Patriots. And I think Trent Brown should be on the left tackle. I don't understand it. Like I get that Isaiah Wynn's the guy that they picked and they want him on left tackle. But I've always thought that when you've got a guy that is as big as Trent Brown, he has shown the ability to be a great left tackle, especially the year that the Patriots won the Super Bowl the last time against the Rams. He was lights out.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they didn't kind of just find a way to integrate him into that left tackle position, yeah, I think that's a problem.
Yeah, I agree. I think Trent should be on the left side.
I mean, but when it comes to, and we'll get, I'm sure that we will get your top five takeaways from yesterday in under 60 seconds at some point this morning. But Mac Jones and lumping in the, well, I guess I won't lump in the O-line with Mac Jones. Mac Jones was not the biggest issue in that loss yesterday.
No,
he was like the third or fourth or fifth biggest issue in that loss yesterday.
But did you see any bright side to him in just yesterday's game?
No.
Bright side?
Yeah.
No.
Especially going into next week.
They certainly they took some shots with him down the field, which is what you wanted.
Yeah, you
wanted them to be successful.
There were some outside shots taken, but remember, the outside shots, those are safe, easy throws. Like the go route on the outside, that's a safe, easy throw. And I wouldn't say he was the number one reason why they lost the game, but he is a big part of it. When you throw an interception that basically turns into a pick six and the guy ended up fumbling it and then they come back and they score a touchdown off of that, you look at and you go, oh, wait a second here. Well, defensively.
All he can do is throw it into the hands of the guy who is supposed to catch it.
No, no,
in,
but
in
that
the
touch,
form of the
but,
tight end.
But that the first one that he threw that was intercepted by, I forget who it was, who ran it down the sideline and then fumbled it, and then New Orleans ends up getting it on like the 5-yard line and Jameis Winston throws it basically falling down and it was on that short field. That led to New Orleans scoring their second touchdown to go up 14-0, I believe, at the time. That was strictly on Mac Jones because he was getting sacked and he just threw it up in the air to nobody.
Did you see the face that Sean Payton gave Jameis after that touchdown pass? He was just giving him the death stare.
Like, dude, what are you doing?
I've never seen a reaction to a touchdown pass like that.
He's heaving it up from the turf.
It was like my dad's face when I brought him my report card.
This is Andy from Hudson. What's up, Andy?
Not much, Greg. How are you, brother?
How you doing?
Hey, I think Tom wanted to stay, but on the same token, you know, I'm sure the Belichick and the Patriot way and not having fun and being able to say what you'd like gets a little bit old. So in that respect, you know, it probably wasn't as big of a decision to go elsewhere to be able to have some fun, especially in the later part of your career. I mean, Belichick and the Patriot way, yep, it's worked. There's no denying it. But, you know, I'm sure the players that have been under it would like to go out and have a little fun and not have to worry about getting in trouble if they have an interview and say something and, you know, just along those lines.
Well, I mean, but isn't it just as easy? Can it just be as easy as there was going to be a hangover from you had years and years and years of success. You can't do that forever. And there was going to be a hangover from that. And Tom wasn't up for that. Like, he wasn't up for doing that. He wasn't up for a rebuild, quote unquote.
He didn't want to go through the 2020 season like the 2019 season where he looks around and he's like, who am I throwing it to?
Right.
And then, but it seems like they're still having those same issues, right? In 2019, Tom Brady isn't the Tom Brady that we expect him to be, right? Then 2020, Cam Newton comes in here and then Cam gets dealt the hand of crap and he tries to make, you know, chicken salad out of chicken poop. He's not able to do it. Now you then give some guys to Mac Jones, and now it's not like, well, it's not all on Mac, but maybe some of the pieces that you put around Mac, turns out maybe they're not very good.
Well, and I think an upside is what Ty Law said to us was that, I think it was Ty, who said that Mac Jones going into week four, that's a game that he has the least amount of pressure on him because you're expected to lose that game. And I think last night after the game, Mac was asked about Tom Brady and kind of making this bigger than it should be for this rookie quarterback. And I thought his response was great. He basically it was a very Bill Belichick response. He's like, we're going to focus about learning from what's on tape, not focused on him or thinking about what Tom Brady meant to this place, so on and so forth. And I think that's the mentality you want from this rookie quarterback. That's why I asked Bill about.
But do you buy that?
Well, I asked Bill Belichick about what Mac's mental game is, what he sees out of that. He says he's handling a lot, and he's handling it really well. So I kind of do believe that Mac Jones is going into this game thinking, I'm expected to lose this. So what do I have? What else do I have to lose?
See, but do you watch him play? Because if you
I did.
If you do, I don't believe that. Because the guy was sitting basically on the bench in tears after losing to the Bucks game.
It was
the Saints game. So mentally, and we already know because Christian and Lou talk about this all the time on Marloni and Fourier. He's so wound up tight mentally. He takes every loss, every play like, you know, it's his last play. And I understand that. But sometimes when you have a player like that, they criticize and scrutinize themselves so much. They're not built like the type of player goes, yeah, you know what, everybody's expecting me to lose. Because if that was the case, Jameis Winston had to basically come over to him to shake his hand. And then he needed teammates to console him.
Well, yeah, and Bill basically grabbed him
right
off the bench and right dragged him out.
But you
it's
guys
like a kid, you know, it's like a parent of a kid who just struck out in Little League, and now he's sitting at the end of the bench, and you as a parent got to come over there and grab him and say, hey, listen, don't worry about it.
But you keep bringing up, and that's after the game, I think you tweeted, like, he's going to cry in the
he's
car.
He's going to cry in the car.
Yeah, but I don't care about that. If Mac Jones needs to cry on his ride home, I don't care. If during the game he's not sitting on the bench with his head held, hung low, then I don't care.
But you don't like his body language during the game. And
I thought he popped up every time when watching in the stadium.
I don't know what game you're watching.
While I was in the stadium,
yes.
The first three series, they went 3-and-out?
Yeah.
So I expected him to be sitting on the bench with Josh McDaniels kind of going over what the hell is going on. He was up on the sideline. He was not sitting at all. And I think as a rookie, that must be pretty hard.
No, I'm not talking about that.
But what are you talking? Well,
his body, after they score the touchdown, there's like no emotion there. Like there's no emotion amongst his teammates. It almost.
The team looks dead ass, yes, as you would put it.
Yeah,
dead ass.
And he is the driver of this ship. And this team looks dead. The emotion, the relationship between him and the tight ends, it's just like, it's strained. It's weird.
Speaking of crying, is it okay to cry in the Ryder Cup?
Ooh.
I mean, there were tears from a European player in the Ryder. Is that okay because you're representing your country or you're representing your point of origin? Is
did
that
they
right?
Lose, though?
At least it meant something to him. Unlike Brooks, who like trashed the event before it happened.
All right.
That was twisted,
well,
as he says.
Coming up, we will get to Courtney and the news at around 7:45 or so. And there has been an incident of big spoon rage, which has led to violence. That is Florida, not like the rest of us, not surprisingly. So we'll get to that during the news. And then Boomer Esiason will join us after 8 this morning on a Patriots Monday. Here is Ken and what is trending.
The exclusive home of Red Sox baseball. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Good morning to head to Shaw's. Brighten up your breakfast. Pick up some delicious Signature Select English muffins. Only 37 cents. 37 cents. Now through Thursday when you click on the digital coupon limit to Shaw's, perfecting the art of fresh.
Hey, Ken, can I jump in very quickly? So Michael Hurley, Patriots writer at CBS Boston, just unearthed this tweet from Ian Rappaport after Brady signed with the Bucks. So this was on March 20th, 2020. He said the Patriots likely would have done this contract that he signed with the Bucks, though Tom Brady never came to them with his desire to return, so there was no offer from New England. So he didn't go back to the Patriots. So I guess Bill can be seen as being accurate there.
Curtis, you are the one who would be most skeptical when it comes to what Bill said this morning. Do you believe he was being untruthful on this show this morning, or do you think he said it as it appears to him in his mind to be the truth?
I think Bill and Tom would disagree on why Tampa was a better option, but I believe that he was accurate in saying that.
Okay. All right.
Patriots Monday will continue with Boomer Esiason at 8, Donta Hightower, Lawrence Guy on Gresham Keefe. Mac Jones, 2:30 this afternoon with Maloney and Fourier. And to Courtney's point, he was asked, Mac was, about Brady's return. He pretty much dodged that one.
Have you ever had any contact with Tom Brady? And what are your thoughts on the Buccaneers coming to town as you flip that page?
Yeah, I think we're just going to focus on learning from the tape. I think that's most important. It definitely stinks to lose, but you can learn from it. And it definitely eats away at you when you lose, but you got to learn and move on. And that's what a lot of the older guys were telling me, is just keep my head up. And obviously no one likes to lose here.
Nobody likes to lose, but they're 1-2 for just the fourth time in the Belichick era.
And we hear what he said. All the older guys had to tell me, keep my head up and keep moving on.
Yeah.
Does it? And
was there ever a guy who played here who used to pout on the bench?
But he was yelling at his receivers. That was a different
thing. Bledsoe.
Okay.
All
right. He was yelling at his receivers. But when you say move on and keep your head up, there's going to be a lot of growing pains this year. So there's going to be a lot of losses. And how does that affect him if he's somebody that pouts? You know, he's the kid that when he strikes out is beating his bat against the ground and the parent has to come over to him and console him and say, don't worry, we'll take you out for ice cream after the game.
Well, you want a bright spot? Maybe it's Kendrick Bourne. The stat of the week is brought to you by Gillette. And Kendrick Bourne had 6 catches for a career-best 96 yards, also his first Patriot touchdown. Look good, game good, Gillette, the best a man can get.
Nailed it yesterday on NFL Sunday. My breakout player, 5 catches and a tug, I said.
And Jacoby looks good.
Jacoby always looks good, though.
They're pretty good.
He always looks good. He's like a – he is your new Mr. Dependable third down. He's not going to make like these huge, huge explosive plays, but he's somebody you can count on.
Matt Judon, couple sacks, I think, yesterday.
He looked good.
Two of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
He looks really good.
The defense looked good. They were put in bad situations. Your quarterback throws a horrendous interception that they take down at a 5-yard line.
Block punt.
A block punt. The New Orleans misses 2 field goals. So your defense pretty much played good, except for the first series. But after that,
the last
4-minute series. But after the first series, punt, miss field goal, punt, miss field goal. So the defense looked good in the front 7 part. They need to pick up the phone real quick.
But Wiggy's been spot on. There's been nobody more right in the first 3 weeks. We love to kill
Appreciate
Wiggy
it.
When he's wrong. But his take on Mac and the premature coronation of him as the next guy, it looks smarter by the day.
Yeah, Wiggy nailed Justin Fields, who was electric yesterday. 6 of 20, 68 yards.
That's the organization.
9 sacks. 9.
That's because the organization.
Oh, that's the organization.
Of course, right. That's anyone. Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, maybe besides Trey Lance, who's with a decent organization out in San Francisco, and then Zach Wilson. If those guys were
But not one of the rookie quarterbacks has looked great so far.
Yeah, but they're all playing for crappy coach teams. Would you agree?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
All right.
Monday Night Football tonight, 7:30. We'll have Philly at Dallas here on Sports Radio WEI. Embarrassing weekend for the Red Sox. There's no getting around that. Swept by the Yankees, who now take a 1-game lead for the top wild card spot. Giancarlo Stanton, second night with a monster homer. Out of the park, Wiggy.
Casket series.
Erod was good. 5 innings of 2-run ball. They took the lead on some bizarreness, but a strange, strange night. Ottavino surrenders it.
So let me guess, you're going to be all excited when they start to beat up on the Orioles now, right?
Well, yeah, if you get in, yes. Okay. Magic number 6.
All right.
Well, a very good chance to get in.
The key is the Toronto series against the Yankees because you want...
What do you want there?
Well, you want Toronto. How many games is Toronto behind
1. If they get swept and you sweep Baltimore, you clinch.
Right, but it's about home field, though.
Yeah. At that point, yeah, it would come down to the final series, and the Yankees are in Tampa.
Just to be clear this morning, Ken, optimistic on the Red Sox, down on the Bucks.
Correct.
Wiggy, you've enraged the text line with your comment that the defense looked good. They think they looked atrocious yesterday. But you said you're disgusted with the defense. That's what you said last hour.
With the offense.
You're disgusted with the offense. You think the D looked good.
After the first touchdown, did the defense look like – I mean, they didn't look like they were spectacular – but did they look like they were the issue?
No.
On the last drive, they were. That was a horrible final drive.
You keep going to the final drive.
Well, that's when the game's on the line.
No, but by that time, they were down, 14-3?
That was a 1-score game.
No, it was 7-3, right? And then they end up late.
Bourne scores the touchdown. 9 minutes to go, you're within 8, and you allow the Saints to go right down the field.
You allow them to get off the field on the third down. That was a bad play by Mills. They threw it to the kid from Assumption College.
Deontay Harris.
But when you look at that first portion of the game, the defense held the New Orleans Saints to 7 points. You could never capitalize as an offensive team. You couldn't capitalize. And then they end up giving up a touchdown on a Jameis Winston Hail Mary play. Now, granted, I understand you want to put that on the defense, but they actually held them pretty good to that moment right there, and they give up that kind of jump ball play, which they then go down 14-0. And you're not able to score touchdowns. How can we put this all on the defense?
More important question, have we packed away the highlighter yellow Red Sox uniforms at this point, Ken?
That's the bright spot of the last month, so don't knock those.
So I just am so intrigued by Ken. The Red Sox haven't beaten a good team all year. But you're saying you're optimistic about them going to the playoffs.
They still have a winning record against the Yankees.
10-9. They've lost six straight.
They've lost the last six. But
since Sam Kennedy said they were 3-10.
Just takes one in the wild card game, Curtis. And that's what's true.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today. It's the Greg Hill Morning Show.
Yeah, we're up in attic, Greg. Don't worry about that.
On WEEI.
Comes to Sunday night and the Patriots offense, Ken, that we ain't seen nothing yet. They've been, haven't, I mean, hasn't that been the suggestion that Josh McDaniels has been holding something back?
Yeah, that's Courtney's suggestion.
Hey, you never know.
Okay. He's been holding it back. Doesn't want to reveal his hand, okay. like a good card player.
Listen, he could reveal his hand. Does anybody believe, truthfully, and I'm a diehard Pats fan, but does anybody believe that they're going to beat Tampa Bay on Sunday? Even if
Tampa has two corners out.
Okay.
And Brady is rattled. God, he's leading receivers in total wrong direction. Gronk killed yesterday.
Tampa for 400 yards, one touchdown, no picks, pass rating of 103. Tampa, you are an idiot.
Tampa could show up with no secondary, and you still can't throw touchdowns. I mean, let's be honest. Everybody's yesterday's game, the defense yesterday, realistically, gave up 14 points. The first drive.
20 if they make the field goals.
Right. But yeah. I'm just saying, based on touchdowns, the first drive and the last drive. Right? Because if a team kicks field goals, Curtis, you should be able to beat that team. So they gave up the first drive and the last drive, which I agree with. Their last drive was a heartbreaker. But 14 points. 14 points from the defense. 17 in week one. What? Six against the Jets? And you're saying the defense is the problem?
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have to put a lot of points up on Sunday night. And I, you know,
Greg, what if they had Brady designated quarterback? So he played for both teams.
Speaking.
Like we used to play as kids.
Right.
Speaking of your hero, coming up a little bit after 8 this morning, Tom Brady pulled a Belichick when asked about his return to Gillette Stadium. So we'll get to Tommy Trader.
Tom Brady.
Are we doing the Tommy Trader party, by the way, on Sunday night? I've yet to hear any final details on that. Are we going to have a Tommy Trader party?
Yes, we are. Yes, we
okay,
are.
We are.
We
okay.
are a go.
All right, good.
Oh. Also, right. Before we move on from this topic, I know we're going to talk about it later, but has anybody seen the NBC promo for the game on Sunday?
No.
Whoever's doing the promos needs a raise. It is the best promo I've ever seen for an NFL game in my life.
Did you get chills?
No, I'm telling you, it was so well done. It's Adele's Hello. And it's Brady versus Belichick. Watch it and then laugh, but I'm telling you, it is very well done.
This is Paul from Quincy. What's up, Paul?
Greg, I feel so guilty.
I've been on you guys. The Spaz and Curtis would be reading the news. Now I feel like I got to come up with some kind of Vince Lombardi in front of the blackboard.
It's customer service. I when it comes to being nice to people, that is what Spaz excels at. I mean, if you've ever met him in person, you know that. But you had a comment on Bill and Tom Brady, or I don't know what.
Well, yeah, I know you guys have brushed against it, but everybody seems to be focusing on, the rift between Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Like, there was a huge divide between them and a huge divide, in negotiations about what Tom wanted. And I don't think enough weight is given to about what Giselle wanted. I really believe that she was overwhelmingly the deciding factor that, Greg, if Santo wants to go to Martha's Vineyard and Courtney wants to go to Nantucket, right, where are they going?
Either going to Nantucket. I mean,
that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if Santo is trying to plan a 30th birthday party,
right,
and he wants to do that on his own, is he allowed to do that?
No.
No.
Oh.
Santo.
He's not allowed to.
Yes, he is.
The guy is not even allowed to plan a birthday party for her without
fraudulent.
Her telling him
fraudulent.
Exactly
That's
what
fraudulent.
It has to be. You're right. I don't know.
I just think that she wanted out of here, and every day he was going home and, something to the effect of how to go today, and she was, picking his brain as how negotiations were going, and he wasn't, and she just was convincing him, all that stuff that you've already gone over.
Yeah.
He wasn't appreciated here, and I just think she was overwhelmingly the deciding factor, and all that stuff about him on the sidelines the previous season, that was all grease in the skids. He knows the camera's on him when he's railing against the receivers. That was all a setup for him to be out of here the next season.
Yeah.
It is true. We hear so much less about Giselle now that he is in Tampa. Mm-hmm. Before, it was kind of overwhelming how much we heard about her and how much she wanted him to retire, get out of the game. And now it seems like he has free reign to go as long as he wants.
Well, I think Scott brought up the greatest point on the Ken and Curtis show that kind of gives you a window into potentially why he left from the Giselle standpoint. He's probably going home every day. Like a lot of people do, like a lot of guys can relate to, going home.
Must be nice to have a home.
And complaining about their job and how, work is driving them crazy, even though they love their job, right? Even though they love what they do and they make good money. I don't get along with my boss. He's doing this, he's doing that. And Giselle's probably got to the point where, like even Scott said, you got to have thick skin to be coached by this staff. She got to the point where, like, Tom, why are you even dealing with this anymore? Let's get the hell out of here.
Let's go to Florida.
Let's see.
Weather's great.
Right.
Greg, the issue this morning, though, is not Tom, as much as I love Tom. The issue here is that Belichick's legacy is hanging in the balance. I mean, look at the way this team performs. Guess what the Patriots have in common with Joe Judge? They both look awful without Brady on their team. I mean, the Giants are 0-3, yet another barren branch off the Belichick coaching tree.
So you believe that this season dictates the legacy of the greatest coach in NFL history?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, well, it's not just this season, but yeah. Does this team resemble any of the Patriots teams with Brady at the helm?
No. And it pains me to say, I kind of agree with Curtis.
Yes, it does. They started 1-2 three times.
You agree with Curtis?
Yeah, it kind of, because you're going to remember, like, even with Brady going to Tampa Bay, even if he's successful, his legacy is always going to have, well, remember those couple years when he went to Tampa Bay? It's going to be the same with Bill, especially if Bill can't win. It's going to be, well, remember those years he didn't have with Tom Brady? And we were all under the assumption that Mac was the guy. And maybe we all look at it, maybe Bill's looking at it like, see, Robert, this is the guy you wanted, Mac, right? Because that's the reports that we're hearing out there, that it was more Robert's guy than it was Bill's guy. And now, and if Mac doesn't look like, right now, does Mac look like the guy of the future?
Absolutely,
yeah, he does.
He
absolutely does.
He's the best rookie quarterback in the league by far.
Okay, so... So what is that saying? So the rest of those guys are all going to be bust, and he's going to be average at best?
No, again, I don't know how you can judge a rookie quarterback on three games.
But you can't have it both ways,
Greg. Yeah, because you judge Zach Wilson.
Right. And week one, we were all saying he looks like the real deal. So you can't say he looks like the future and then tell people you can't say he's not the future.
And then you judged Cam on three games last year.
Here we go. Here's the first Cam mention of the morning.
I told you earlier. I should have said it.
You said it to me when I walked in.
You said it when I walked in this morning.
Wiggy. First thing Wiggy said is that Cam Newton – at quarterback, this team is 3-0. That's what he said to me this morning. You want to get it out? Fine, get it out.
I shouldn't have said it. Last year, what was the record after the first three games?
United States of Cam-erica.
That's my bad. Let me take that back. Delete everything I just said, Ken. But when you, what was the saying during all of preseason? Oh, this guy's different. Look how he has a handle of the offense. I heard even Ninko, this guy can run no huddle. What other quarterback you see runs no huddle? He looks like he's in command. This, that, the other, about how great he was. Okay. All right. Everybody was like, he's great, he's great, he's great. Now, watching him through three games, based off of what we can evaluate, because that's what we do. Everybody says Zach Wilson sucks after three games. After three games, what do you have?
Two outstanding performances and a C.
You have a
outstanding performances.
Right. Yes,
you have a C quarterback,
and you said Brady looked bad yesterday.
He didn't play Trent Brown this week or the previous week. Keep that in mind. Significant absence.
You have a C quarterback.
They have a tight end who can't hold on to the ball when it's thrown to the numbers.
Okay, yeah. Great point. We had that last year. Based on what we see.
The difference last year was the ball wasn't thrown to the numbers. In this case, the kid hits him in the chest, and he can't hang on to the football.
Based on what we've seen, you have an average quarterback who's smart with the football. That's what you got.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have this playmaking world beater who can make play. Let's stop comparing him to Justin Herbert. Stop it.
Ken said Herbert was not as good as Mac yesterday.
When you buy Bill, so Bill, we were talking about the Aguilar play.
Mm-hmm.
Bill said essentially that the quarterback and the receiver were not on the same page on that.
Right.
Is that an okay explanation? I mean, is that what you expect from week three of a rookie quarterback and a receiver he hasn't played with
previously? Not when you tell me that the kid is one of the smartest quarterbacks that you ever seen. When you're kind of pumping him up to be this great quarterback, you might be on the wrong page here and there. We saw it last year with Tom Brady down in Tampa Bay. They weren't on the same page. I don't know exactly what the play was. It looked like Aguilar runs a corner route. Mac Jones throws the ball like he's running a post route. I'm just saying, based on what we've seen from Mac Jones, we got a smart quarterback who doesn't make mistakes but is not really going to win the game in any way with his arm.
But, Greg, forget what you think, Courtney, Greg, I mean, Wiggy, Ken, or myself. What do you think Robert Kraft thinks this morning after he spent almost $200 million in guaranteed money that he was not happy about? Do you think he's seeing any return on his investment? Do you think he's questioning what's going on?
I think he was on board with Bill wanting a rebuild.
Well, this wasn't a rebuild. You don't put this money in. These guys are ready-made to play now.
I was whispered to at the highest level of that organization.
Why was Dan Kraft whispering to you?
I was whispered to at some point. I don't remember when it occurred that Bill wanted a rebuild.
But this is not a rebuild.
Wanted a rebuild?
Bill wanted a rebuild.
No, I know, but Robert, why would he want a rebuild?
You have to rebuild. I mean, your house is falling down. It's been 30 years of having the most beautiful house in the neighborhood. At some point, you got to slap a new coat of paint on it, Curtis.
Yeah, but you didn't slap a new coat of paint on it. You tore the whole thing.
Yeah, you spent a lot of money on that paint.
They should have called East Coast Metal Roofing.
Right. You spent Courtney's 100% right. You spent a lot of money on some paint. Yeah, this was more of a retool. Let me ask this question to the room. Based on the first three games, has Mac shown you any flashes of this kid could be a top 10 quarterback?
Yeah, I think he has.
Of course he has.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think he has.
All right.
In the first game I was impressed with him, but everybody was telling me how great he was, so he didn't exceed my expectations, because that's what we were talking about. He exceeded everybody's expectations in the first. But I'm saying for me, Then as week two and week three, yesterday was scary for me. You watch that game, and I didn't see any bright spot. Besides,
you didn't see a single bright spot with him.
Besides how he popped up after he got absolutely destroyed 11 times throughout the game, no.
Speaking of that, by the way, great job on Hoyer coming out to grab the brace.
Yeah, he did that.
Looked fantastic doing that.
He won Patriot of the Week.
But what about the touchdown pass to Bourne? 22 yards, great recognition. Blitz is coming. I'm going to throw it up in single coverage.
So now,
but that's great mental awareness from a young guy.
No.
That's something Brady would have done.
I'm talking about his skill set.
That is his skill set.
No.
That's his intelligence. No, that's his knowledge. That's what's going to win for him.
His skill set and how you go out there and you go, oh, wow. This kid has shown some flashes. You see that play he made? You see that throw he made? Has he shown you anything?
I just told you.
A 50-50 ball?
Yes.
He sees a blitz coming off the edge and he throws it up in the air?
Well, let's look at Justin Fields' numbers in his first start yesterday. 6
he
of 20, sacked 9 times.
He hasn't showed you anything.
Okay, so in comparison, Mac looks pretty good.
Neither has Trevor Lawrence and neither has Zach Wilson. But those quarterbacks all play for teams that no one expected to do anything, and they play for a team that doesn't have the greatest coach of all time and Josh McDaniels as their offensive coordinator.
All right, well, we will see what Boomer Esiason says about this and everything else. Week 3 in the books in the NFL. Boomer will join us after 8, and we will get to Courtney and today's news and the Big Spoon rage, which led to violence in Florida, coming up next.
It's the Greg Hill Show
on Sports Radio WEEI. It's time for...
A vital part of preparing for hurricane season is to get vaccinated now.
The news.
That's not what science is all about.
With your host...
I don't want a ring. I want an apartment building.
Courtney Cox.
Come at me with a deed, baby. Don't come at me with a ring.
Brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, specializing in men's sexual health.
I'm not familiar with the works of... not as familiar with the works of Nicki Minaj as I probably should be.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
They are now offering sound wave therapy and other ED treatments with success rates as high as 90% at Northeast Men's Health. You can learn more when you visit northeastmenshealth.com. Coming up after 8, Boomer Esiason, 8:20 this morning. Wiggy's top 5 takeaways from yesterday in under 60 seconds. And then a rare content replay on Bill Belichick, who joined us during the 6 o'clock hour. We'll do that at 8:30.
An irrational fear coming to life on Sunday night. Several people were injured in an accident involving an escalator at the MBTA's Back Bay station in Boston. The MBTA confirmed they are investigating what happened. Here's Eli Smith, who witnessed it.
I guess like the escalator malfunctioned and like everybody like fell down and like hurt themselves at the bottom of the escalator. They were like talking with like the paramedics and all that. The kids were crying like hysterically. And, like, the mom and the daughter went on a stretcher. People laying down at, like, the bottom of the escalator. And there was, like, this, like, woman, like, holding her head, all covered in blood. Yeah, there was, like, 3-4 people that, like, I guess hit their head really hard.
So it seems like the escalator went backwards.
Oh, terrifying. Well, they were on it, and the thing went started. I get nervous when it comes down to that bottom step because, you know, I'm when it comes to my dexterity, not as nimble as I used to be. So I always get worried that I'm going to get, when it comes down to the bottom and it evens out, that I'm going to go down.
In which decade were you nimble?
The 80s, Curtis. I was nimble in the 80s.
Is there any shock that this was at an MBTA station that the escalator would fail? Like,
no. Good time to focus on making public transportation free for everybody, as candidate for mayor Michelle Wu would like to do.
I knew a kid who lost his fingers on the escalator.
Really?
Because his shoe, when we were younger, his shoe got caught, and then he went down there to take his shoe out, and then they had to take his big toe and put it in place of his thumb.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, they put the big toe in place of his thumb?
Yep.
What was he called afterwards?
We were calling him Tommy
Toes
or something like that. Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah,
you know, I don't point fingers. You know, I point thumbs.
That's not the guy who swam. Amid the boat lane across the harbor. That's a rat man.
That ain't rat man. This was like in the late 80s. Yeah, he went to. And so I always had that like thing of the escalator. Mm-hmm.
That's probably why there's probably some sort of psychological reason in there why you don't like women who have. feet that look like
toe thumbs.
Toe thumbs.
Megan Fox. She's right. One of them.
That's probably why.
Her and Sanaa Lathan.
You never got that out of your mind.
Can't
as
do
a,
it
as a child.
What is your friend up to these days that had that happen?
I don't know. This is a long time ago. I don't know what he's doing.
Well, nine people.
Hopefully he's still alive.
Nine people were injured in that incident, taken to local hospitals, so thinking of all of them this morning.
Okay.
City councilor and mayoral candidate Michelle Wu, who Greg just brought up, has won the endorsement of her former political rival and current office holder, acting mayor Kim Janey.
Oh, of course
here
she
is Kim Janey.
I am living proof of how great Boston is, where a girl from Roxbury can grow up to be the first woman and the first black mayor of our city. And I believe that Boston can be a place where everyone's dreams can be realized. Furthermore, I believe Michelle Wu is the candidate to make that happen. That is why I am so proud to endorse Michelle Wu for mayor.
Is she coming on?
I don't know. I believe Courtney, didn't you invite her on? Or
I was trying to facilitate. I think Curtis was talking with them.
She's welcome on the program anytime she wants.
Courtney nicely got me in contact with her press person, which I replied with an email inviting her on. I have not heard back.
Okay.
I believe that was inside a restaurant in the North End was the rally there.
I ran into the former mayor of this city on Friday at a golf tournament event. I was hosting the auction, and he was back in the city to play a little golf. It was a nice thing for Marty Walsh to do.
It was like Brady and Belichick again. Back together, you two.
Yeah, it was an interesting thing there over at the Lawn on D.
Mm-hmm.
A couple hundred people in a tent and...
Buddy.
Not a mask to be seen on anyone.
No.
I got to stop going to these events with politicians because when it comes to your health, it's dangerous. Not a single one of them wears a mask inside.
You can't have you table hopping in a restaurant.
It's really.
Do the cabinet members alternate who takes care of Biden every day?
I don't know. Mr. Mayor. All right.
All right. Well, Florida, they're not like the rest of us.
And now.
It's one of those only in Florida type of stories.
Another edition of Florida.
Florida? But that's America's way.
Not like the rest of us.
Another day in Florida.
Cocaine, right? I thought that was just for people in Florida.
A 45-year-old woman in Florida was arrested for battering her boyfriend last week after he asked her to cuddle. That is correct.
She didn't have time for that.
No, she was
probably the heat.
Yeah.
Who wants to cuddle? Who wants the big spoon, little spoon in the humidity?
Yes.
No,
in
thank
Florida,
you.
Too. And
well,
it doesn't,
had a big win last night. Beat the 49ers.
It doesn't seem like they even had AC because she was so mad she beat him with a pole from her fan. Police reports say that he had visible injury. The girlfriend was arrested and charged with domestic battery. She was arrested back in February for beating the same man.
I saw your pole.
Oh, so wait, they're going to stay, they stay together every time she does this?
Apparently, the boy's got to get out.
That's a soulmate.
He's got to realize, like, yo, if it gets too hot, man, just give her a space.
Yeah. Or he needs to get out of the relationship.
Give her a space.
Yeah. Okay.
An actor working at a haunted house in Ohio has been fired after he accidentally stabbed an 11-year-old boy with a real Bowie-style knife that he was carrying as a prop.
What? He brought the real knife? This is a guy who takes his job too seriously, so... You ever been really scared by one of those people at the haunted theme park? They're way too into it. Like, there's always one person who's following you around the whole thing. Like,
I think I would be great at that job.
My
job is to scare. I won't stab the kids, but I want to scare them.
You want to try it one night?
I should.
Like Blue Collar Friday?
I could do that. And I got like the perfect, like, you know, I always think about like what would be the perfect scare and cost. I just watched Candyman over the weekend, so maybe that could be a good little Halloween outfit. But I love, because Canopy Lake, I think it's Canopy Lake, right? That's the one in New Hampshire.
Yep.
They do like the whole scare fest.
My guy, Al Fletcher, owns Witch's Woods.
Where's that?
Witch's Woods in the Neshoba Valley. It's so good.
Yeah, I like those places.
You could work out there one afternoon or evening if you'd like.
That could be really
good. Sign some autographed 8x10s while you're there.
I can jump out as Mac Jones. I'll scare the hell out of people.
Complimentary sliders while you're there.
Well, that is another big fear of of mine is going to one of those, like Witch's Woods, whatever, and having there be a serial killer dressed up as an actor. What a crime.
I don't think it's ever happened.
I will enter your home while you sleep and sever your neck with a dull knife.
Well, yeah, this guy brought the knife from home, even though
Has he been fired?
Yes, he has been fired. Good.
What a buffoon. So the fake knife wasn't good enough for him? He had to bring in a real knife?
Correct.
He probably couldn't get the right type of shine on it.
What an idiot.
One of the most terrifying moments of my life when I was in high school, we had to film a horror film for a lit class.
Okay.
And someone in my group brought a real knife from home for the filming. And I was like, this is how I die. This is it.
So is the kid all right, though?
Yeah, no, he was a nice kid, but I was very nervous.
No, the kid that got stabbed.
Oh, yes, he's okay. There's photos of his, it was on his foot. He was wearing Croc-style shoes, and the knife went through the Crocs.
Jesus.
Like a hot knife through butter.
He went after the foot, huh?
Yeah, right? That's why Greg could not go to a haunted house, because he wears those flip-flops.
But it's also why I have that escalator irrational fear. Flip-flops are dangerous on an escalator.
We have a Michael Jordan underwear update. Oh. We've talked about this before, because they were put up for auction last month as a part of Leland's 2021 Late Summer Classic Auction. It promises definite signs of use, these pair of underwear.
Oh, wow.
The starting bid for the basketball legends pants were $500. And a month later, 19 bids later, what would you say it went for?
You said it started at 500?
Started at 500.
I'd probably say about 10,000.
Oh.
10,000?
Jeez. A pair of Michael Jordan.
I'd say $600.
How much did Monica Lewinsky's dress go for?
Well, that's different. They never auctioned that dress.
Oh, they didn't?
No.
How's it different? You talk about the greatest basketball player, Monica Lewinsky.
There's never been a more impactful piece of clothing in the history of our democracy.
Also, that dress, the amazing thing about it is it can stand up on its own.
Oh, jeez.
Well, it went... These underwear went for $3,340.80.
That was close.
10 grand.
Greg said 600.
Actor William Shatner is headed to space for real. The 90-year-old will take part in the next Blue Origin rocket launch from Amazon founder Jeff Bezos.
This is not a good... This is a jinx.
Bad idea.
A complete jinx. Yeah. Now, how old is he? He's got to be...
90.
He's 90?
Wow. Yes. He's set to break the record for being the oldest person in space that was recently set by our girl, Wally Funk, who is 82 years old.
All right.
Yep.
I mean,
he looks good for 90, though.
I love Shatner, one of the all-time great guests that anybody could ever have when it comes comes to an interview. But I don't know if he ought to be going into space.
No.
At 90,
awesome,
I don't think.
That's the way to go out. If you're William Shatner, perfect. Right.
How much for William Shatner's underwear?
I don't know. And off that, how creepy is
will
it?
Will be going into space.
Oh, you do a Shatner creepy impression.
The Greg Hill Morning Show presents.
You think I am a creepy guy?
How creepy is it?
It's probably the creepiest thing I've ever seen.
Can I put the camera in the lady toilet?
Back up, you creep.
Okay.
A live-in nanny in Staten Island has sued her boss for allegedly secretly filming her hundreds of times in various stages of undress with a camera hidden in a smoke detector in her bedroom. The 25-year-old nanny claims she had to jump out of her bedroom window after he rushed home, tried to break down her door when he realized she had found the camera. So obviously he was watching.
So, right. Wow. He was like watching at work or something.
Yes.
And then he saw her looking into it. Oh, my God. What a creep.
She believed he was armed with a gun. He's going to jail and he's going to have to find a new nanny.
Yeah. I mean, we need some sort of... I mean, this is... This goes on way too much.
Oh, all the time.
You had that story last week about the guy who had the camera in his bathroom inviting everybody over for pool parties?
Yes.
They need some kind of the red light is not enough. They need some kind of indicator when it comes to cameras that people are setting
up. It's also become really hard because so many people have the Furbo or something for their pets or a nanny cam.
Right.
And nanny cams are...
They're so small, you wouldn't even know.
Right.
Now they're put into like... You could put a camera in like an iPhone charger, the block pot. I mean, you could put them anywhere and people would never know.
Yeah, and I think they are helpful. Nanny cams are helpful when it comes to... people
keeping your kids safe and
absolutely.
Yeah. All right, Courtney, thank you.
You're very welcome.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us, and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.